Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go. Let's get it on. Paul Peters.
Hey, got a fake Thornton and Rivera exchanging punches.
And everybody pairing off at center. And now Peters starts teeing off on Emery.
Captain strikes gold.
And now, the Instigators.
Welcome in, One Buffalo Studio, alongside Marty Baron and Craig Revay. Brian Duff in for Andrew Peters the rest of the week. How unprepared am I for today? That can be easily summed up when you recognize that as the clock turns 10, I had not looked at the rundown once until this very minute.
That's because there was so much amazing dialogue going on.
Energy,
music. Energy. There was a few walkouts. It was hard to describe the build up to this show. And clearly, Marty, I might not be ready.
You're not ready. I will call Weeksy right now, Kevin Weeks, and we'll say, "Hey, Duffer's not ready." And Weeksy will give you a pep talk and get you going. Now, listen, I haven't looked at the rundown yet, and I don't even know what we're talking about hockey-wise today. All I know is I got my this or that ready for later in the show. We got
this guy's ready to rock after bringing AC/DC to the mix yesterday.
Absolutely, right? And there was a big concert at the arena last night. So I'm ready to talk music. I'm ready to talk fair. I'm ready to talk whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'm ready to talk hockey, so I'm going to have to really get my thinking cap on and let's get going.
Kind of leads us to the element of surprise, as in you never know what's next. And I think that is still the case for hockey fans, but obviously in this market, Sabre fans, as they continue to look at the roster and shuffle and project and wonder what deals are still to come. So without focusing so much on what has maybe happened already in the minds of many the last 2 months, how about the element of, okay, regardless of who is still to join the mix, what within the group can help take Buffalo to the next level? And most likely beyond the obvious, right? So the element of surprise.
Well, you're not going out and doing an offer sheet to a top guy right now.
Well, that would be the ultimate surprise.
It'd be done. It would have been done. Montreal did it right away with Sebastian Aho. Carolina match. I mean, everybody's saying, let's go get like a stud, right? Like a guy that's 24, that's going to be a superstar in the league, an offer sheet, and the cap situation doesn't really open that opportunity for Buffalo. But that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we can scratch that one off and say, hey, you're not going to get a Braden Point or a Mitch Marner or a Cal Connor or, you know, a Brock Besser or any of those guys because it would have happened already.
But you do look internally all the time, and you have projections, and you clearly have hope. Every team has that every year. So let's turn the question to within the group and focus on the forwards. And if they're going to progress, you would assume that you're going to get the natural point progression from the likes of an Eichel and presumably a Reinhardt and potentially Skinner as well, just as a, you know, a comfortable byproduct of him being here again on the heels of a very good year. So confidence is at a wonderful place. But with so many unknowns, they will need the bottom nine, if you will, to rise up. So who is most likely to surprise out of that group that can then presumably bring others along with that player that helps take the Sabres to a different level offensively?
Yeah, looking at the forward lines that I had, you know, put in my mind, there's one guy that sticks out that I believe next year with the position that he's going to be placed in is going to have a breakout year. And I think that's Alex Rodriguez. I mean, or Ivan Rodriguez.
Hey, Rod.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Alex lost a lot of money in his car the other day.
I was thinking, that was my
almost as much as what E-Rod was
contract,
able to get.
Yeah. E-Rod's contract just went out the window with the car rental for A-Rod. But, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so Rodriguez is a guy that I think is really going to step up his game this year. He's at the perfect age of his career to start to establish himself as not just an NHL player, but a guy that can be a game changer and a factor. And I think that, I think that the Sabres will give him an opportunity to see what he can do. I thought that in last year's season, there was a lot of areas that he was successful in. I thought he was a pretty solid penalty killer. He moved the puck very well and set up a lot of really nice plays last year. And I think with an even bigger role this year, I think Rodriguez is going to be a guy that takes his game to a next level.
Well, when you get to that point with that player, what have you seen? I mean, what did you think of him originally? He's played multiple positions. What leads you to believe? Is it some of what Jason Botterill has said as far as, you know, where you expect him to be in the lineup, meaning positionally?
Yeah.
And maybe some other intangibles that could still be on display for, like you say, a 26-year-old Ivan Rodriguez.
Yeah, no one knows where he's going to be. That's the thing. I mean, Evan's come to this team. He's played the left wing, the right wing, and he's played center. He's played on the first, second, third, and fourth lines and been out of the lineup. He kills penalties. He's had time on the power play. He's taking key faceoffs at certain times of the game because he is defensively responsible. I just think that right now he feels comfortable with his game. He's had a couple seasons in the National Hockey League. He's starting to feel that he can make a splash. And it's very difficult in this game when one night you come to the rink and you're on the left-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next 3 days later, you come to the rink again for the next game and you're on the right-hand side. And you're on a completely different line, playing with completely different players. There has not been an ability, because we don't know where he's best, and because he's played actually quite well in all three positions. That being said, I think he's going to be in a position this year that I believe that he's going to have an opportunity to play center. I think he'll be able to play with some established players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once he gets that opportunity to start to feel comfortable with one position, I think he'll take off.
And I agree with E-Rod that he can elevate the play of maybe the top nine. I think it's going to be hard to say, hey, you're really making the top six a lot better, because, he's got skill, he's got quickness, he's got some speed. But I think what happens is when you talk about a top six, you're talking about guys like Eichel and Skinner and Reinhardt, and those are the type of players every team has in their top six, and mm-hmm. E-Rod is not that level. The other thing, as Rivs, you just pointed out, so many times this year we would show up at morning skate and the practice would be over and E-Rod was still on the ice. Why? Because he was having one of the assistant coaches rim pucks along the wall in the defensive zone so he can work on getting the puck off the wall, because I'm playing left wing today, so that means that, I got to get my body in a certain way, and then when I get it, making a pass to my center that's supporting me is a different angle than if you're playing the right. And then the next week, you'd see E-Rod getting pucks to the right wall sent to him, and you'd be, well, E-Rod's going to play right wing today. And so those are very, very difficult to always change back and forth. I know that people are going to say, well, there's no such thing as a left wing, a right wing, a center when you're in the defensive zone. But you usually kind of sort it out that if you're the right wing, you're going to be going on the right wall and you're going to get pucks out in the right wall, especially after a faceoff when you win the draw and you have a set play and your D knows he's got to rim it around. And if you're the left winger, you got to get there. And it's hard for a player to keep switching back and forth.
So,
but I'm going to give you my guy.
No, not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
Because if we stay on the E-Rod train, what would then qualify as a surprise? Meaning, how big a jump and you know, it's kind of tying in hope with all of this, right? Like, if you're going to label this guy as someone who could surprise, how far does he rise from last year's 29 points?
Well, last year he played 74 games, had 9 goals and 25 points. I would not be surprised if Erod is in the high teens in goals. 16, Ooh. 17. Yes, I believe that he has the ability to do that. And I would put him around 45 points, 45 to 50 points. If he's given an opportunity to play with certain players, and I have him penciled in right now currently with a Jimmy Vesey on the left and a Sam Reinhart on the right. If that line stays together for a significant amount of time where they have the opportunity to play together and gain confidence and chemistry, this is what you will get out of Alex
Evan.
Or Evan Rodriguez.
It's all rainbows and unicorns for you this morning, huh? This is
Listen,
you're looking
I'm
at best case scenario.
I'm as hard on most guys, no. But I'll tell you, I believe that Rodriguez had you know, with how tough the season was last year for the Sabres.
Yep.
I think he did a lot of very, very good things. He was relied on to be a second line. Power play guy. He played on all the penalty kills. He was a main go-to guy on the penalty kill.
Yep.
He plays with speed. He skates very well. He made some plays last year moving the puck where he was on two-on-ones, if you remember.
Shorthanded,
probably
yeah.
three or oh, four
yeah.
of them
he
happened.
He had one to Jake McCabe. He had
yeah.
one.
He looked like he was going to shoot, and he made plays that everyone went, wow, what just happened there?
Yep.
I think that there's another level to his game. He skates well. He sees the ice well. He's got a nice skill set. Now you give him an opportunity to stay in one position, and you let him flourish. I think he'll have a nice season.
I think high teens in goal is a stretch. I think Erod is much more of a playmaker than he is a goal scorer. So if you can get – he had 9 last year. You know, the year before that, he had 7 goals in 48 games. So let's just say he has 12. He increased his goal production by 3. He's at a dozen goals. But he had 25 points in 48 games 2 years ago. Now you're talking in the 40 to 45 point range for the season. That's attainable. If you... pushing 50, 55, you're, I mean, 55 is what Sam Reinhart
again,
got
that,
2 years
again,
ago,
that
right?
was 2 years ago that he had those totals. He yep. had 7 goals in 48 games, so he was on pace for what, 12, 13 goals?
Yeah.
I think Evan Rodriguez is going to come to the season more mature. He's not a 22-year-old. He's a 26-year-old. He is confident. He's not going into this being a younger guy, a rookie guy in the lineup. He is now a veteran player, and I believe that you're going to see a much more mature, confident Evan Rodriguez.
I agree.
What
with
I'm
you.
Saying is, at some point in someone's career, someone has to have a. There has to be a breakout year at some
yeah.
point, or you know, this team's not going to be moving forward.
Right.
You understand?
And I totally
so
agree
we
with
need
you
those guys.
That.
I'm looking at Jimmy Vesey coming in this year where he's scored 16, 17, 17 in the last 3 years. I'm looking for him to be 23, 24. I'm looking for Sam Reinhart, the 65-point Sam Reinhart, to continue to help push a line and still have 65 to 75 points next year. If that happens, then it takes the pressure off Jack Eichel, Jeff Skinner, and whatever lucky person's yeah. playing with them on the right-hand
lucky.
Side.
You want to be
right?
That right winger?
Oh, I'd love to. I know what I'd do. I'd skate up the boards, and I'd cut to the front of the net, and I'd make traffic. That's it. That's all you got to do. Keep your stick down and hope that Jack bounces it off your stick.
You get 50 points. No, I totally agree. Like, seeing your looking at Erod and saying, okay, 12 goals. I think we're looking at... 40 points would be like, yes, you are giving us secondary scoring.
Mm-hmm.
45 to 50, now either two things. Yep. If he gets 45 to 50 points, either he was put on the first power play and playing first or second line a lot, which means that either the Sabres are dealing with some issues injury-wise that you have to put Evan Rodriguez in those situations, or there's a lot of guys that are not performing and you have to give... Because I'm not sure. I want to see a Sam Reinhart on the second line get 65, 70 points.
Okay.
And I don't want to see Erod in Sam's spot getting 48 points.
Right.
I don't want that. And that would mean that something is going on with Sam. Either he's injured, he can't play, or he's really not performing. Mm-hmm. That Erod is in the spot Sam would be in, or Erod's playing on the top line with Jack Eichel, which means you don't have Victor Olofsson there. You don't have...
So when I say 45 points for Erod and 16 goals... You think that that's too much?
I think that's a little on the upside.
Let's break it down. We're going to have an Erod that's going to play, and I have, let's just say, because this is all hypothetical, I have him as our second line center with Jimmy Vesey and Sam Reinhart for a full year. In 82 games, last year he had 29 points in 74 games, not a full season, okay? Yep. So you're telling me that he can't get seven more goals playing in a specific role with top-end players at Jimmy Vesey, Sam Reinhart, and it's not left wing one night, it's not right wing the next night, it's not on the first line, then you're down on the fourth line, then you're on the third line. No, he is going to have a role where he's going to play the same position over and over and over again. He's going to gain confidence in himself that he knows what to do each and every night. And he's going to go to the rink, not going to the rink to check the board to see what he's playing. He's going to the room to focus, knowing that he's going to be the second line center,
again,
playing with guys that are going to help him make him better.
If Erod's our second line center, we're in trouble. And I love Erod, and I think he's a good utility player. And I like going in the locker room and talking with him, and you know what he has to say, and how he sees the game, and he watches a lot of hockey. So mm-hmm. I sit down, and he's like, "Hey, did you see Crosby last night? Did you see McKinnon last night?" We talk about the game. But if Erod is your second line center, you're going against, we'll pick an easy target, Toronto. Okay, and you have Matthews, Tavares. Whoever lines up against Erod is going to be like point night. Like, I'm going to dominate this matchup. And so you're putting Erod in a situation that will help him get 45 points, get 15 goals, but it's not going to help the team get better as a group.
So we're talking about the players that aren't here.
No, the question is, which Sabres forward could surprise this season?
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're talking about the player that's not here right now.
No, I'm not talking about players that are not here. I'm like, you have other options. You have Marcus Johansson at center that you could put on the second
line.
Marcus
Johansson hasn't played center in years.
All right.
He's a left wing, and then he's on the right wing. So Johansson is a utility player where he can play all three positions, and it gives them the opportunity to do that.
Okay, let's revisit the Sam Reinhart at center situation.
Well, we could, and that would probably fall into the surprise category as well. It's the Instigators here on MSG and WGR Sports Radio 550. Valid question, which Sabres forward could surprise this season? Because if that one singular player does rise to a different level, how much does it change the dynamic up front offensively? Rivs has made a pretty good case for...
Erod, if you're listening, please make sure that you pick her up this year, because you got roasted yesterday.
No, so. Find things around the office, right? And I'm walking around the back, and I found Riv's mid-season grades for last year.
Oh,
so I, you know what?
Whoa,
you
were mid-season.
Mid-season. You were pretty good, because what you said kind of followed suit for the rest of the year. But... you know, those type of prediction
those projections were done December.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of the players
wasn't as bad as people might want it. Like, it was the start of not being able to string multiples in a row. But it did have, you know, that good weekend in Washington and Boston. It did have a shutout of Anaheim, you know, close to – it was really, as the calendar turned, is when it really started
who
to
– Who was the leader in those games?
Which games?
Well, the Washington and the Boston games.
Well, Sam and Jack and
Jack.
Jeff. Yeah.
Jack was on fire. Yeah. He put two under the bar in Washington.
Top shelf from the side.
Yeah. So, but anyway. I mean – I just think if Erod is getting you 46, 47 points, 16 goals, that's because he's used in a position that is not
last one.
Can I just, you know, listen, I mean, you make great points, Marty. If we play Toronto, we're going to have a hard time against Toronto, because Toronto has two centers that are the best in the game in Matthews and Tavares. Just like if we were to go into Tampa Bay, we're going to be in a tough situation because you're going to have to deal with Point and Stamkos, and that's going to be a tough situation too. Mm. Yep. All the top teams, you're going to have tough situations with. I'm talking about what we currently have on our roster right now. I believe that Evan Rodriguez is ready.
Evan.
call him whatever I want.
Just put it.
E-Rod.
You've gone from A-Rod to Pudge Rodriguez, yep. Which is Evan.
Alex, Evan.
Oh, man.
Alexander.
I'm telling you, he's going to have a breakout season. No, but mark my word. 16 goals, and I think he'll be around 45 points, and I think that we're going to sit here and look at him and say, you know what? It was a pretty darn good season to move forward with.
Okay. Before Marty dives in, though, because you guys have seen, you know, this situation presented to players before, and you know the history, and you've documented well what Evan has gone through positionally and ice time wise the last couple of years, and there's a new coach. How long do you think is a fair window to put Rodriguez in a position to succeed? Because look, we go through, we're constantly talking about line changes, right? But if you believe Rodriguez can get to a certain level, it's because he's going to have a lengthy audition. What is a fair audition time for him?
My thing is the auditions are over. If we have a coach that comes in and thinks that he's going to audition all these players and we're going to start to roll the dice like we've seen in the last 6 years, then we're going to be in the same position as what we are right now. They know what they have in Rodriguez. They know what they have in Olofsson. They know what they have in Sheary. They know what they have in VC. Put them in a position, put them on a line, and let's fire things up. And if you have to make a tweak here and there, that's okay. But last year and the last couple years, holy smokes, every line was different all the time, every single game. Who's playing with who? It's like, I mean, you had guys going from the fourth line to the second line to the, you know, it was all over the place.
You didn't even know what lines were what. Like 1, 2, 3, 4. You had to one line, and then after that, it was kind of a mismatch.
Listen, you knew who the fourth line was, Gergensen, Larson, and Oposo. And I'll tell you right now, that line outperformed most the second and third line most of the year. And they're supposed to be our fourth line. There needs to be some clarity. There just needs to be guys set in positions and just play. Go out and play and know that this is where you're going to play all year.
All right, Marty, which Sabres forward could surprise this season?
Okay, well, we mentioned him a little bit when we talked about the supporting cast. And for me, it's Jimmy Vesey. And it's simple. I look at the numbers for Vesey, and I know the Rangers felt like he took a little bit of a step back. But his point total has gone up. 27 his first year, 28, 35. His goals have pretty much stayed the same. But the one big difference is this shooting percentage drop. It was about 14% in year one. It went down to 11% in year three. So if he can get back to about a 12.5 shooting percentage, his shots have gone up, his Corsi's gone up, his minutes have gone up a little bit. So I'm looking at putting him in a position to succeed, putting Jimmy Vesey in the top two line, give him like a lot of power play time. His first year with the Rangers, he scored 5 power play goals. In the last 2 years, 1 2 years ago, 1 last year. So he's got to get, for him to get to 23, 24, 25 goals, he's got to get another 6, 7 power play goals on top of his regular 16, 17 even strength goals, and then you move forward. So I look at VC as the guy that will get 50 points, go from 35 to 50, will go from 17 goals to 25, and that to me is the guy that will.
Why can't Rodriguez and Jimmy Vesey play together? And they're both gonna. I just said Jimmy Vesey, if he plays with Rodriguez and Sam Reinhart, I think Jimmy Vesey is gonna get 24 goals next year.
I think Jimmy Vesey gets a look, an audition that will be longer and maybe even in a better position than a Tage Thompson, than a Casey Mittelstadt. Because I think VC has been around longer. He's in his fourth year. He's older, more mature. You are looking at saying, here, there's your golden opportunity. You went to the New York Rangers. He's 26.
Same age as Rodriguez, mm-hmm. yeah. what I just said. Yeah. He's ready to rock and roll, both of them. They're ready to rock. Put them together with Sam. Boom shakalaka.
For those about to rock, I mean, we're going to talk about a little bit of heavy metal later. But anyway, I'm looking at VC and the situation now. Erod is with the same team he started with. Mm-hmm. The Sabres gave him that free agent contract out of college. He's still with the same team. He's stuck mm-hmm. in a little bit of that same rut, that same mold. VC come in from a new organization. He's got that maybe a little bit more fire, maybe a little bit more of a wake-up call and saying, look, you wanted to go to the Rangers and then they wanted to trade you. You came to Buffalo where they wanted you before. But at the same time, the past is the past, but you're looking at you're getting a second opportunity. How are you going to handle it? I really think VC gets most of the cookies early on mm-hmm. to be able to produce, and then it's up to him. But I think if he produces the way that I would hope he will, we'll get that those numbers, and we'll be able to be that surprising player that would elevate the top six.
Was this an easy exercise for both of you in that you landed on one player right away?
I landed on two, and the two were Erod and GBC.
Well, yeah, that's so my answer is the same as Marty's. Yeah. The two guys I was thinking is was VC and Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who he was going to take, but I just think that Rodriguez, with being put in a situation to succeed, just give him a position, allow him to do what he does best. I think he's got the abilities, the skating, the hockey IQ, the defensive awareness. I think he is a really nice hockey player that's ready to pop.
Are you both reluctant to focus on younger, inexperienced players at this point in time? I.e., even though he's not young as far as age, but is on NHL experience in Victor Olofsson, and from a middle position, Casey Mittelstadt, obviously, because I think a lot of people would look at those two, that if they could surprise, meaning if Olofsson could immediately yeah. translate to 25 NHL goals, and or if Mittelstadt can jump all the way up to what you would hope in a second line center role, you know, those might qualify as big surprises too. But I'm just curious whether you guys have a reluctance to focus on inexperienced players.
No,
my second
group of players mm-hmm. were Victor Olofsson and Tage Thompson, not right. Casey Mittelstadt, because I think Casey Mittelstadt, and I hope he comes in and really surprises me. I think this will take 2-3 years in the making. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll see a step forward, but we won't see the big jump forward that, oh, we found our second line center mm-hmm. and let's have Casey Mittelstadt be there. So he was in the third group of players. But Victor Olofsson definitely was a player that I looked at my second group. And Tage Thompson, because we saw the flashes in rookie development camp and the showcase and the preseason, and then they went away. And it's normal. The NHL middle of December is not September preseason game, and it's totally different. But I think we saw this year at the development camp how he came in and showed leadership, showed maturity. So I'm hoping that carries through to training camp, because it's going to be a big year for Tage Thompson. Having been traded a year ago and now his second year with a new team, the struggles of last year finishing in Rochester. So I think there could be a chip on his shoulder. But Victor Olofsson and Tage Thompson were the two players that maybe won't have as much of an impact, mm-hmm. I think, that VC could have,
yeah.
but are right there along with that group.
I will, in the second tier, I agree again with Olofsson, Tage Thompson. Tage Thompson is a national development kid who has a tremendous, tremendous skill set. I said last year when he had his struggles, the 6'5", 200-plus-pound body of Tage Thompson is going to start to come together. It's going to take a little bit of time, but he will be a player, I believe, in this league that will score 25-plus goals. I do believe that. wholeheartedly. I don't want to put pressure on the guys that we're naming, Mittelstadt, Thompson, and Olofsson, who's a little bit older. Mm-hmm. He would be one player that I would expect a little bit more from next year, just because he's played pro hockey over in Sweden before coming over here. He had a full season in the American Hockey League, and he showed how great he is. He started off, he was leading the American Hockey League in points, had a dip in his season, which is natural for a European-born player, because they only play 40 games over there. Mm-hmm. He played 82 games last year, so there was a dip and a lull in his season, but then he finished very strong. So he had a really nice season, 30 goals. Mm-hmm. I thought he played well when he had an opportunity up here with the big club. I expect Olofsson actually to have a nice season. I don't want to put point totals on him at all, but that second tier, Casey Mittelstadt had 21 points last year. Mm-hmm. He looked slow. He got put in some tough situations as a very young hockey player, which it was unfortunate that he had to play such a tough role playing against the top lines in the league. Yeah. They almost feasted on him a little bit. But I expect him to come back to this training camp faster, mm-hmm. stronger, and more mature overall. And what I mean by more mature, it's understanding that he is now a pro hockey player. It is a job. You prepare to get ready for a season, and now once he's traveling and all, he starts to understand what works for him, mm-hmm. which is going to make him a better player throughout a full 82 game schedule. So I look for those guys to push from the back end.
All right, a couple of surprises potentially for the Sabres this year from Marty and Rivs. We'll see if we find any more of those in our summertime six-pack, which focuses in on heavy metal bands. That's right after the break. Lots more hockey talk, of course, to come. It's the Instigators on WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG. Stay with us.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Welcome back into the One Buffalo studio. Brian Duff in for Andrew Peters today and for the rest of the week alongside Rivs and Marty. We are diving into our summertime six-pack. Now, I do believe, Marty, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe because I tend to mishear things.
Yeah.
Did Rivs say earlier how many do we need?
He did. Goes, we need five? I don't know. When Rivs goes to the store and he gets a six-pack, he gets five.
He gets lost at Wegmans.
Because
he's trying to build the six.
There's only five because he drinks one while he's shopping. And when he gets to the checkout line, there's only five left in his little can there. But would those ales or lagers?
Oh, gosh. Don't start again. Yeah, if we're gonna roast him for not having six in his six-pack. Don't ever look at me and suggest that I know anything about ales and lagers other than their taste and whether I'm going to buy them again.
So we're doing this differently today. The summertime six-pack, because usually...
In tying in with beer. Draft.
We're doing... Well, and it's fantasy football draft season, so a lot of drafts coming up. But because I think we would all get pretty much the same top six groups or close to it.
No.
So we're going to do a draft. We're going to start, Duffer, because you're so nice, you're going to get the first overall pick over there. And Rivs will get second, I'll get third, and then I'll get four, five, six, and we'll go down. So we'll pick 18 different groups.
Okay. I hope that there's some personal connection to these bands for you guys. I know that might be hard for Rivs. Rivs just kind of lived in a little isolated environment at times, you know, just to himself. Wanted to come across as the proper leader, didn't want to stray too far from the job at hand. Regardless, I'm starting with Judas Priest.
Judas Priest, okay. Wow. did not have them even in my
Freewheel Burning back when I was in seventh grade was probably my favorite song.
See, this is going to be fun because it's also going to be about preference. Like, you can't go and say, oh, I think this band is the greatest of all time. It's who you like.
No, this is not a Magic Johnson type ranking.
Yeah, no, it's not. Which we'll talk about later.
Maybe,
but
or maybe
goodness.
Not. Ribs and I can move off that
I'm
topic.
I'm looking at the list.
So am I picking second overall
You're
right
picking
now?
Second overall, and you got right. the feel.
And he's got the voice for it, too, so I can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah.
Kneel down, you sinners, you streetwise religion, greed's breed crown in the kings. Hollywood and the dream teams, yes, to say to trash queens, save your blessing for the final ring. Amen.
Yes.
There we go.
Did you watch the movie?
I did. You know what? Listen, I mean, it was all right, but I loved Motley Crue, I'm going from my bottom up. I'm just going to see if, I just wanted to get Motley Crue out there real early because I listened to them a tremendous amount when I was a kid. And
did you ever see him?
I have not, no.
Second concert I ever saw.
Really?
Motley Crue, Theater of Pain, 1985.
Wow. That's
still feeling the heat from, still feeling, oh yeah, still feeling the heat from the pyro. That was the first heavy pyro, heavy pyro show that I saw.
Everybody burned on the first few rows over there. Okay, I feel like you guys are just giving me the band that I've wanted at number one.
Say it.
There you go.
Metallica.
Oh,
yes.
That
Come
was
on.
The tap-in of all
this
tap-ins.
This is like if you're sitting in a fantasy football draft and your guy that you want first overall is available at fourth or
yeah,
fifth.
Yeah, this is no question the number one greatest heavy metal band ever on the planet.
Okay.
Yeah,
and for me, for my generation, I'm going to go right back with number four because it's a snake draft.
Snake draft.
So we're going
yeah.
right back number four.
Oh, well, you should tie it in with a band then if it's the snake.
Guns N' Roses.
Oh, no, I was thinking literally, like, I won't say
White
it.
Snake?
But yes.
No. But doesn't Guns N' Roses have a snake in their
they got
logo
a lot of
or whatever?
Going on. Yes.
So I'm
going
to go GNR as number four.
Riffs. It's a very solid choice.
I feel like my team is up to a great
I'm going
to
go back to a band that I, again, listen to. There's, you know, Metallica, Motley Crue, and this band in particular were three bands that I've listened to from a very young age. When I got my first stereo, I bought it with my own money, worked in a garden at some guy's house down the street, and ended up paying for some six speakers.
A membership to
Is
Columbia.
That like a landscaping
a
job? Is that what you're
to,
trying to say?
Columbia Music. Columbia
Music.
Where you got the
13
tapes.
For a penny.
Absolutely.
It's the only way to build out the collection, baby.
Iconic band, Led Zeppelin. I asked Duffer this morning, I'm like, does Led Zeppelin even...
The beauty of music is it's all subjective, and I think the challenge in identifying music nowadays is that most artists are reluctant to even paint themselves into a genre because it's kind of all over the map. But the reason Zeppelin works for you is because Zeppelin was the greatest influence on every rock band, but most importantly, the heavy metal generation.
Yeah. Yep.
So it has to fit. You can't influence them all and not be, in the eyes of some, considered in that group. So shame on me for not taking it, but
you get two picks now.
I'm
though,
glad
so
you did.
You get to make
well,
it up.
I mean, I did mention a concert experience when it came to Motley Crue, so I'm going to go with my first ever concert experience, and that was the Scorpions on their Rock You Like a Hurricane tour back in 1984.
Did they whistle? Can you whistle?
That was before Klaus was, yes, long before Wind of Change and Klaus Meine doing the whistling. But nonetheless, the Scorpions fall into that category.
I can whistle the first part, and then when they go the really high part, I'm like, I'm out.
I will back end that one with another solid show. And this kind of falls in between, but I don't want to steal one band from you just because he was in that band, but I think individual artists qualify as bands in this case, so I'm going to go with Ozzy Osbourne.
Okay, I like that.
That was the third show that I ever saw, Ultimate Sin Tour 1986.
So Ozzy was also with Black Sabbath, right?
Yes.
No, but does that mean it's off?
No.
It's still on?
Black Sabbath is completely different
than
Ozzy Osbourne.
I just wanted to make sure. Continue on. Rivs, you're up.
Well, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going with Black Sabbath.
Okay, well, then go with something else. Whatever.
I'm going with Alice in Chains.
Oh, good pick.
That's a very good pick. Again, another band that I think very underrated, and even to this day, I still listen to them. At you know,
the challenge with that, and that's not that they're not heavy. They are heavy, but they were into that next scene, right? Like the changing of how music
of
was
what
grunge,
heavy metal
and,
was
exactly, yep. But.
Okay.
By all definition, I mean, they should fall in there.
I get two picks, and I'm going to jump over a band that I absolutely love that I saw recently at the KeyBank Center, because I think this may be available later down the road. I actually, last night, it was late. I was driving to go pick up my daughter, and I was listening to their music in the car. So I'm going to jump over that band. We'll come back to it later. A band I can't jump over right now is AC/DC. I got to get to AC/DC right away. When I was with the Flyers, Rock, our locker room attendant, would come in and he'd play Back in Black, and he would literally blow up the sound system. Like, he wanted us to really get fired up. He'd come in and put the CD in, and the speakers would literally blow up. We wouldn't have any music for the rest of the pregame. So
did that happen to your stereo system, that first one that you purchased?
With,
did you ultimately blow out the speakers?
Absolutely not. This thing was sick.
It could go.
It was so good. Yeah, you
could go
to
15
yeah.
And
absolutely
be fine.
No question.
And so it's me again. I am going to go with one of the most famous rock band, heavy metal band of all time, worldwide, Kiss. I'll go with Kiss and Gene Simmons and
yeah,
Paul
they
Stanley
were super popular, especially when we grew up. Mm-hmm. But it just seemed like I had a hard time buying into their music. I don't know. There's just
same thing, Ribs.
Okay. Right?
Yeah. I mean, and I went and saw them recently last couple years ago,
to them.
Yep.
But it wasn't a lasting, like these bands that we've named, like the Metallica, Led Zeppelin, Ozzy, and Motley Crue for me. You know, you had a great one. Did we pick Guns N' Roses yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Those bands to me, I mean, I listen to certain songs that will just pop out, and I'm driving my kids to the rink or wherever I'm taking them. And I just have that feeling come over me if a certain song comes on, because they're...
No, you want to listen to more of it.
It's not listening to more. It brings back memories of things that happened and you did and people that you were with. And, you know, whether it was good or bad, it's interesting. That's what music does to you. So.
You know, Ribs is that guy in the fantasy football draft that's like, hey, has Todd Gurley been picked yet? Like, in the fourth round, the guy went in the first round, right? He's like, has Guns N' Roses been picked yet? Yeah, it was fourth overall, Ribs. So.
Well, I've forgotten which way we're going. Is it coming back to me?
No, it's Ribs again. So I did my two. Now it's Ribs and then you for two.
I'm going to go with a band that when I think I was around 16 years old, my
Marty,
brother called me into his room, and he said, listen to this one. And he put on Cult.
The Cult.
I think it was like...
She Sells Sanctuary?
Yeah, or Wildflowers. Mm. You know, something.
Yeah.
He just ripped this up, and I listened to it, and I was like, that is terrible. And I looked at my brother because I didn't want to disappoint him, or I probably would have got beat up. And I just was like, yeah, that's great. And I walked out and I'm like, I really don't like that at all. Mm-hmm. It didn't hit. But then you, what you do is you start to listen to it again and you listen to it again. And then all of a sudden, you know, a week, 2 weeks later, you're like, this is an incredible band. And you, that was a band that was introduced from my brother at a very early age. And they've been fantastic. I like a lot of their songs.
One of the first concerts at Skydome when it opened in 1989 was The Cult. I was the Jason Bonham was opening for that. It was terrific.
You are the music.
Well, I love the concerts. Yeah. But staying with the kind of band theme earlier that had an individual artist that was removed from that band but was terrific on his own, in Ozzy, I'm going to stick with the Sabbath theme without picking Sabbath and go with Ronnie James Dio. Dio for me was just this kind of, like, his stage presence was remarkable. Their show was incredible, and Dio incredibly underrated in the grand scheme, I believe, of heavy metal music.
Okay, so you picked Black Sabbath because...
No, not Sabbath, Dio.
Dio, okay, you're not picking...
So I've got Ozzy and I've got Dio, but I don't have Black Sabbath.
Okay.
But I do have one more pick.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Queensryche.
Queens
who?
How do you spell that?
Queensryche. I'm going to put the pressure on them because there might even be one of those funky accents that...
like Motley Crue? Yeah.
Queensryche, sensational. Just vocals from Jeff Tate. Deep concept albums. Operation Mindcrime was absolutely terrific in that sense. I'm blanking for a moment on what their hit off of Empire might have been that had a Pink Floyd-ish sound to it back in the... mid to late 80s, but regardless, Queensryche on my list.
To go back to Dio, Dan Dunleavy just chimed in on Twitter. He says, it's a tough one because being a six-pack, it doesn't have to be the best of all time. I hate leaving out, especially official RJ Dio, because it is your call right there. So I know that Dan was at the Iron Maiden concert last night. So
also a band still available.
Still available. Oh, that is how you spell it.
There you go.
R-Y with the two dots.
Love
C-H-E.
It.
So Rivs, you got to pick right now.
You both saw the T-shirt I wore yesterday. It's amazing how we've gone through.
I picked them already.
AC/DC?
Yes. So you're that guy.
You're that guy.
I picked them right before Kiss.
This is ridiculous.
Look, I've got Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Kiss. Yeah, we do.
I'm struggling here. I'm gonna go.
You got lots of bands. I'm gonna share you my list here. You got these guys. You got these guys.
Iron Maiden has not been picked yet.
No.
Again, that was my very first tape that I was given in grade 8.
A track or cassette?
It was cassette.
Thank you.
Yes, it was a cassette tape, and brought it home. I can still remember that. My mom always got off work at 5 o'clock. My dad was around 5:36, so it gave me that two-hour period of being able to do what I want in the house. And I played this and turned it up to max, literally just both blew out the windows. And that was my beginning of Iron Maiden, the Number of the Beast.
That's a good pick. I have two picks left, and I go back to back, and I have three bands here that I want to get, and I'm not even going to pick that band that I said I would pick later. So anyway, my fifth pick, I'm going to go with Poison, because when I was in the late 80s, early 90s, like, we listened to a ton of Metallica, Poison, like getting ready, Guns N' Roses, getting ready for a hockey game. Like, we had the stereo, the cassette, and we listened to a lot of them.
All right.
So Poison's going to be on there.
That's how the board looks. We will fill in the blanks when we come back.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Instigators.
So we have one more each.
Yes, WGR, Sports Radio 550. Instigators, stay with us.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hockey talk that hits. This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, welcome back. Winding down our summertime six-pack. We're slow and steady in consumption of the six-pack this morning and or the building of said six-pack. So with final picks still remaining and the big board showing five bands each, Marty, you have your final selection.
Well, I have Metallica, Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, Kiss, Poison, and...
Poison veers you into an entirely new realm, so I'm very curious to see where this goes.
This is going to shock you. Beastie Boys. And I know you guys are going to say, that's not heavy metal, but
Wrong answer!
There's no wrong answer!
Jeff, there are wrong answers! It's not Beastie Boys!
No, like Sabotage is like a little like heavy, a little.
Of course
pushy.
It is, but it doesn't fit the genre.
It doesn't fit the genre. I get it, but that is where I am different. Somebody on Twitter just
God
said
bless you for being
goalies
different.
Are a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go way off, and I'm gonna go Beastie Boys.
Are you wearing that mask again, where you can't see the topic bar, so you don't know how to answer?
Which forward trade,
Marty? The puck's right in front of you. It's right in front of you.
Tepo. No, that's what I'm going with. So you guys do whatever you guys. I'm giving you
very interesting answer.
Easy answers. Go ahead.
I got a question for you then, going off the beaten path. No. Is Stone Temple Pilots considered a metal
band?
Again,
they're grunge. I mean, this is the problem. That's like, if you start doing Pearl Jam. Obviously, no, you're going to go Nirvana. You're going to do Pearl Jam. You're going to do all those bands. Stone Temple Pilots, like, yes, okay. Are they incredible?
It's
a great pick.
It metal? Can it go in this category?
It's more metal than Beastie Boys, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to leave Marty alone, and I'm just going to go with a simple Twisted Sister back in the day. We're not going to take it.
You like the
No,
backup, right?
We ain't going to take it. Yeah. We're just, not that I listen to them very much.
I was really hoping you would put down Stone Temple Pilots.
Though, I love Stone
Temple
Pilots.
Because then that would have opened the door for me to finish this way, which is maybe
No, I'm
going to
put down, I'll put down Stone Temple Pilots as my pick. I'm going off the beaten path for the
Okay, then I'll take Foo Fighters.
You guys just, okay.
Foo Fighters? The Foo Fighters?
Yeah, but then, like, we just...
I know. Okay, well, like, if you're not going to...
How come we not pick Nirvana and all of those bands, too?
But I would take Foo Fighters over Nirvana, but that's
you
just
would?
Me. Sure, I would. Yeah. Just more impact on my life. But if you want to stick with the original theme, then it's Black Sabbath.
Yes. So. But you know what we've missed here? We've missed, like,
Nothing.
Megadeth, Pantera...
it's like the really heavy stuff. We were just
Halen,
soft hockey players.
Skid Row. I was going to go Skid Row at the end just because of one,
Sebastian
Bach, who is Zach Burke's brother. And I knew Zach from playing against him. And I've met Sebastian Bach, so I was going to go with that.
All right, we went with the wild card finish here. Maybe non-metal, but certainly influenced by said bands. Foo Fighters, Stone Temple Pilots, Beastie Boys.
18 to Life, by the way, is one of the greatest songs ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout, come back with sports update in hour number two of the Instigators. Well played on the metal band's summertime six-pack draft. Tweet at us and see who had the best group.
It's not good right now on Twitter.
Is it not good?
No, it's not good.
Why? Length of segment?
No, picks. Just, picks? You know, I feel like an NHL GM that just went off the board and is getting crucified.
Oh, I can't wait to see the draft rankings then. Who did the best? We're back after this. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.